This is Sound the Shofar on Warn Radio. It is Shabbat and time for fellowship, the Word of God and rest. Join us now as we enter into Sound the Shofar on the Watchman Alert Radio Network. Greetings, everybody, and this is Sound the Shofar for Friday, December the 15th, halfway through the month, and of course, with this being Christmas, all the holidays, Hanukkah and everything, there's a lot of things going on, and so I'm doing this show just a wee bit early. Tower is not here, and of course, she is my partner in all this, but you know, it's just one of those things. We have to be able to get everything, and we want to get these shows done and ready for everybody to get right into them. I have a starting point at 6:30 Thursday and Friday, and that is when I try to get them all ready and prepared for that. And so at any rate, we are here, and I want to let you know, of course, that the new book, Steal the Darkness, it has a Jewish prophet in it. It has a radical preacher, a group of American patriots. It has a Hitler-esque type character, and a lot of other things, including UFOs, Nephilim, and underground bases and conspiracies all come together in a Christian mystery thriller. And it's one of four taken from, you know, applying to current events in America today. It also has a lot of biblical foundational truths in it. So check it out. You can find it. If you have a bookstore, you can get it from Ingram. Or you can get it over on Amazon. Check out our sites, warn-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com. It'll have information on there. And if you get on over quick enough, in the Amazon giveaways, we're giving away a book over there, and you can find that. So at any rate, don't forget also, Thy Many Gods, O America, Which One Shall Save Thee, is a recent article. Birth of the Son of God, the Ukidoka Secret that Sets Men Free, that's another one. And we've got a lot of other things. Last night we did Prophecy World Events and Christmas for Christians 2017. Tonight, Sound of the Trumpet Part 2. Set the Watchman. That's what was number 1. But this is number 2, and this is Alarm of Judgment. So those are some of the things going on. I have recently updated all the websites and all of our social stuff that we've been doing, at least the ones we're broadcasting. You can hear Warn Radio now from, of course, from your PC, Android, Apple device. There's all kinds of things. I'm going to go through a little list here. You can hear us worldwide using the best apps on the planet, literally. And you can get, of course, our Warn Radio app. I'll tell you about that in a minute. Be sure to subscribe to all the shows, all the podcasts. You can do that directly from our website at warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com. Just look for the player on the front page, and below that we have the links to everything, because if you happen to be on some of these, you can listen from those apps right now. And so you can listen to all the shows right there on that player, but we also post all these because we do a video as well as an audio. And so there's a lot of stuff that we provide with this one show, a lot of stuff. And so I don't say that lightly. We literally are on a lot of places. We take this very seriously. So check all these things out. Listen or watch, directly from our websites or from any one of the thing. You can get the links to listen to all this, and let me go through some of this. Google Plus, we're on Google Plus, we're on Google Play Music, we're on YouTube. You can find us on LinkedIn. We have a lot of people over there that, what do you say? What do? They friend on there or talk to one, whatever it is. We have quite a few. Spreaker, Stitcher, that's an award-winning app. We're on that. iHeartRadio, that's an award-winning program. They're having some problems, but they're hanging in there. Vimeo, on Vimeo now, they have the Apple TV, Android TV on Google Play, the Roku, Amazon Fire TV devices, Samsung TV, Chromecast, which is on iOS and Android mobile apps, and more. That is more for us. We've got a number of things that we haven't heard from yet and things like that. We're in the process. So just check them all out. The updates on our website. Sign up for, as much as you can sign up to get the news. You can get the Remnant Battleline app right from the front page of our websites at the same place you find all those. Facebook, you just remember Warren Radio. So when you go to facebook.com/Warren Radio, that's our page over there. We have three other pages, I think it is, with that. We have three Twitter accounts, which we have quite a few. It's a pretty big group as far as we're concerned. We're happy. And Watchman IS216, Warren Radio, that's one word, or WGS_Watchman. Remember to put the hashtags in front of each one of those, and you'll be able to find us on Twitter. And so at any rate, we've got a lot of things going on today. The December reading schedule, of course, we're in Genesis and 41 and verse 1 to chapter 44, verse 17, 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 15 through chapter 4 and verse 1, Matthew 14, 1 to 15, 39. So those are the reading things that we're doing. And like I said, we are doing a little bit of a special broadcast. Last night we did our major show on, it's upwards of 3 hours, but what we do is we turn around and have now 3 one-hour segments instead of one solid 3-hour show. It's easier for the mobile apps and everything to be able to download. It's pretty difficult. And, of course, the shows, the videos, have always been in one-hour segments. So now we've got the audios in there, but we do have a standard 3-hour audio file, and we do that because that goes up on Blueberry. And Blueberry goes out to a lot of its own sources as well. And we also fire out through Spreaker and a lot of other places, and so there's just a lot of places this thing goes, and we're still on a lot of particular things that, right now we don't, I haven't been to in a long time, like Tumblr, and I can't think of all of them, but yeah, we've got them. We've been doing this a lot of years, and years ago, of course, we were on Instagram when it first came out, and of course I haven't been back to that. I can't keep all these things going, so we're on enough as far as I'm concerned. If you want to hear us, you can definitely hear us through all these things. I'm trying to get this mic and everything taken care of here. I think we've have to adjust some of this. Tonight, though, Sound of the Trumpet Part 2, Alarm for Judgment. And, of course, we will be starting in Isaiah. No, Jeremiah. And so that's about, I'm trying to fix this. I don't know. It just might be my my system. I got to get me a new system. I've had that quite a while. Get me a new digital. I've got a Multimix 8 with USB on it. I'm going to have to get me another one. So, at any rate, that's about the way those things go in the fast lane when you're working on all this stuff. In Jeremiah, of course, Jeremiah had his hands full when we talk about Israel. And, you know, when you talk about judgment, you know, judgment is one of those things that, of course, if you're on the receiving end, you don't like it. And I'm trying to fix this mic. I don't know if it's a mic or my thing, but I don't like the sound of it coming through. You're probably coming through okay, but sorry about that. But at any rate, when you talk about judgment, you know, it's like Paul was talking about addressing the chastisement of God. He said, no chastisement, you know, is pleasant. It's grievous, but it does you good on the latter end. And God deals with us, and this is in the New Testament, with as Christians. For the Lord says that as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. So he chastens and he rebukes a lot of those he loves. And we know how many he loves in John 3:16. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and that whosoever believeth in him would not perish but have eternal life. So, you know, he loves a lot of people, but he rebukes and chastens. And in dealing with the context of Christians, believers that know him, and then also in the context of Israel, when dealing with those that he has to correct, it is not pleasant. It's grievous. Grievous. It's hard to bear. And, of course, the one that's sounding the judgment, that also is not pleasant. So that's where you have a problem at as well. You know, you have that little aspect in there that, you know, judgment's going to happen and things are going to take place that you're not really going to like. And so when you're dealing with people like a watchman or a prophet, someone, even a minister that's has to tell his congregation something he doesn't want to, it's not fun. But you have to tell it as God has put it in your heart. And so in Jeremiah, dealing with Israel, who was stubborn, is not easy. And of course, you know, we can fast forward, dealing with Christians is not easy either. Dealing with America is not easy. I mean, if you're giving them, I've been warning America for 20 years now. And, of course, that's not when we started. As many as I've said time and time again, we go back to pre-80s. So, you know, we've been in the ministry a long time, but this end-time ministry that we were specifically called to, this particular ministry has been going on 20 years. And never enjoyed it. The judgment aspect is never fun. And there's people that, you know, don't like you, or they stop hanging around with you, or they turn on you. And I've had that happen lots. So, doesn't matter anymore. It's just like water off a duck's back. You just, you know, after a while, you just, that's the way it is. Paul told Timothy to endure hardness as a good soldier of Christ. And, of course, that's exactly what we have to do. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Christ, where we may not be where we need to be, where we want to be, but we're here where we must be because that's the end to what we have been called to. So that's the thing that we want to remember in all of this, that there is a portion that when we begin to do something for the Lord, it's not always pleasant, but we have to do it. And Jeremiah is no different because he has to deal with Judah, who is in trouble, very much so. And in this beginning, Jeremiah, of course, this is chapter 4 and verse 19, so he's in the beginning of his book. And he's telling them what's coming. And, of course, when we talk about this, and we talk about a prophet, there's what is known as the burden. It's called the burden of the Lord. Now, the Lord's burden is light, okay? That's what we're told in Scripture. Yet the Lord, the burden of the Lord is this, and that's what lays upon the prophet. The Lord gives the prophet or the watchman or, you know, even ministers in churches things that they must do. You know, you have to preach this, you have to say this, you got to warn that. And Jeremiah was told, being a prophet, what he had to do. He had to warn Israel. And, of course, he was called. And, of course, when you're called by the Lord God, just like Paul was knocked off his high horse, you don't argue. You say, it's kind of like in the service, you snap your heels and say, yes, sir. and if you don't do it, you get court-martialed. So with the Lord, he ain't going to court-martial you, but by the time he gets done with you, you're going to wish you'd have done what he wanted you to do. And this is even as Christians. So, you know, I mean, give me a break here. You know, as Christians or as a prophet, no matter whether you're a prophet, you know, a leader like Moses, or whether you're just some flunky, you know, in the service of the Lord, it don't matter, because it's not about your rating, whether you're a high mucky muck or you're a flunky. In God's army, it is faith and being faithful and being obedient. Now, everybody's given a different gift, but we all belong to the same body. See, that's what we need to remember. And Jeremiah here is warning Israel, and they don't like him, of course, for this. And after a while, it gets really nasty. But in verse 19, we've got 19 through 22. My bowels, I am pained at my very heart. My heart maketh a noise in me, and I cannot hold my peace, because thou hast heard, O my soul, the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. Destruction upon destruction is cried, for the whole land is spoiled. Suddenly are my tents spoiled, and my curtains in a moment. How long shall I see the standard and hear the sound of the trumpet? For my people is foolish, and they have not known me. They are sottish children, and they have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good. They have no knowledge. Now see, in this, we can look at the message that God has given Jeremiah. Now, from the standpoint of the Lord, the people to whom God is addressing through Jeremiah are wise to do evil. And it seems like they have no knowledge to do good. It just gets worse and worse. That's kind of the way things are in America today with a lot of things. But, you know, make no mistake. You know, Israel had that relationship with God. They had all kinds of idols and other gods they were doing. They had totally fallen away by the time Jeremiah comes along. By this time, the northern tribes have already gone into captivity and had judgment. And so Jeremiah, my bowels, I'm pained at my heart. Now, my heart make the noise. Now, see, this is the prophet. This is Jeremiah. Because he says, O my soul, the sound of the trumpet and the alarm of war. And, you know, he sees the judgment. And, you know, the problem that you have with giving judgment and stating that God is going to judge the nation is one thing here. That is, it's judgment. Judgment is not fun. Now, of course, there's always that time period in between the warning and the judgment, almost all the time. And, you know, just like when Habakkuk was told what was coming, he says it'll wait for a while, but it's going to come. You know, it's going to tarry for a little bit, but then it's going to come right there. And see, God doesn't just send this, you know, well, you know, right away, because there is a testing period. There is a period of patience too. There is a period that, number one, you know, you're not going to really know when judgment comes. It's going to come. Now, see, that's the problem about people in America. They want to see it, especially in the Christian world. We have prophets in the church, so-called prophets. I've yet to find one that I really believe is a true prophet. There's the gift of prophecy, and there's a lot of gifts in the Spirit. But to be a true Old Testament Jewish prophet is a whole other level than what we have in the Gentile church, the Goyim church. Make no mistake about it, we got a lot of them like poppycocks running around here calling themselves apostles and prophets, but they're far from it. Nevertheless, you know, that's up to them, you know. But when we talk about judgment, it can take a while. When we talk about judgment, more often than not, you're not going to see it coming. And the problem with Jeremiah is he's going to be there when it happens. Now, of course, later on, the Lord tells Jeremiah that he'll be okay, along with, you know, his helper. And Isaiah, matter of fact, is told, tell the righteous that it'll be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. So when we talk about even judgment upon Israel, God made allowances for those who were not as bad as it says, that you were going to eat the fruit of your doings, and it's automatic that if you have been righteous, you know, in the eyes of God, when this judgment comes, then God would make a way for you. And of course, here though, you know, Jeremiah is feeling the judgment. See, and it's just a pain. And of course, you know, the problem with warning is you do get that. You feel it. You feel this anguish. And it comes out of your spirit. It's not just emotional thing that you have, you know, in your head. It is something that comes from your very inner being. And that's why Jeremiah says, my bowels, this is the innermost part of your being. It's as deep as you can get within yourself where this pain is coming from, and it's coming through your spirit. It's coming in your body. You can physically feel it. You can sense and feel the anguish. You can, you know, I mean, you have literal physical reactions to this, And of course, he's seeing all this, and he heard the sound of the trumpet. Now, the sound of the trumpet is the watchman on the wall warning that he sees the people approaching. Now, of course, in Jeremiah's and Judah's instance, this has referred to as Babylon. Babylon was going to come, and they eventually did, and they were carried captive. Now, the one thing out of that was we got a lot of good prophecy and a lot of good things. There's a lot of books that had not their, gone into captivity, you would have never had them. Of course, there's Jeremiah. It doesn't mean God can't write something else if everybody's fine, but Daniel, one of the top prophetic books that we have in the entire Bible, was written by Daniel in captivity in Babylon. So being in judgment is not all bad. God can still work. Yeah, it is bad. But it's not all bad. Yeah. You know, God didn't want to destroy and kill all of his people. He was going to keep a remnant. Now, the wicked would die. But this is the problem. We have a lot of people, and over the years I've come across a lot of people talking about a lot of judgments. A lot of years ago I stopped the judgment part of our ministry because I had warned enough. I felt release. I was supposed to be teaching more. And so that's what we've been doing for years and years and years and years now. And this is what we do. We're preparing the remnant and the judgment. We mention it. I do get into it. But it's not a major thing that I'm doing now. I still go through things and I declare and I write and I tell about judgment. But there is a different level here. So Jeremiah, by this time, has seen this judgment coming, and he feels this. And that's, of course, the sound of the trumpet. That's the messenger himself. He's going to be there when this happens, and that's the unfortunate thing. But he's going to be there. Now, in Ezekiel's case, he was actually in captivity because God wanted him to be there, to be the voice with the people in captivity. Now, Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse 20, we've got about five verses here. Declare this in the house of Judah and publish it in Judah, saying, hear now this, O foolish people, and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not. Now, remember what Revelation says. He that has ears to hear. Let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now, see, that's in the New Covenant. That's how it's related. Now, see, under the prophet, when he gives that, and the reason it's foolish and without understanding is because they're not listening. And they haven't listened. And over the period of time, God has sent, natural disasters and judgments and droughts and things. And the people still did not listen. They refused to listen. They refused to get into God's word. And that's one of the biggest things that told them what they should and should not do. And even for Christians and churches today, the word is the light. It's the seed of God. And that is the thing that needs to be preached more and taught more. And Christians need to read it and know it and understand it, in order to know how to adjust their conversation or their lifestyle accordingly. So, fear ye not me, Jeremiah says, saith the Lord. Now he's quoting the Lord. He said that after foolish people and without understanding, you have eyes and you do not see, and ears that you hear not. See, they don't see the judgments that's hitting them. They don't hear the words of the prophet. And so the Lord, through Jeremiah, says, fear you not me? Will you not tremble at my presence? Now you see, the presence of the Lord in Judah at that time was the prophet. He had the power of the Spirit, the prophet's anointing, and he had an authority that stands outside the bounds of human understanding. He really does. Now, see, the problem you have in the world is we try to understand the authority of the supernatural, like through the prophets. Now, see, there is a different line of authority here, a different power. Because this power is the power to speak to the people in such a manner that the authority reaches into their innermost being. And long after he's gone, this power and this anointing will remain to convict and to actually, it can cause anguish upon the people. And they battle this, and they can't just say, well, I don't want to listen. It will be there until this word has fulfilled its warning. And so when I tell you that there are people with anointing, the anointing carries beyond the natural man and the natural ideas on what authority is. This is supernatural. And so along with this comes the presence of the Lord through his prophet. And he says, which have placed the sand for the bound of the sea. Now he's declaring his eternal state here, his glory, who he is. He set the sand, and the sand is what holds the sea in. And he did it through a perpetual decree, which will never pass. And though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet they cannot prevail. Though they roar, yet can they not pass over. Now see, there are high tides and low tides. There are things, including storms, that cause the sand to be removed. But in the long run, the seas and the oceans stay within the bounds that God has set. Now, this is the eternal nature and power of God. See, and so he's saying this is what I can do, and yet you don't tremble at my presence. You don't fear me, because if you feared me, you would repent and you would stop doing what you're doing, because I'm telling you, you cannot do this. Now, see, of course, by this time, Israel was known, the God of Israel was the Lord God of Israel. And so the Lord God was connected with Israel. So when Israel was such a sinful nation, it actually caused anguish and defamation upon the Lord God, because he had become their God and now they're doing all this. And the same thing can happen with Christians as well. As a Christian, you know the Lord, or supposed to, and then you carry on with a conversation that is not right, and that brings defamation upon the Lord and upon the whole entity of who we represent. That is the living, breathing organism of Christ, the living, breathing church. And it goes on to say, but this people has a revolting and a rebellious heart. And of course they do. They are revolted and gone. Neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God that giveth rain, both the former and the latter in season. He reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. And there are a former and a latter rain. Now Joel uses this for the prophecy of the coming of the Holy Spirit. And then Peter in Acts chapter 2 refers to that as when the outpouring happened on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit of God. He says, your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you. Now see, what's happened is he's referring to a drought that they have. And they have a drought because they're revolting. And they're rebellious. They're not going to listen. And they don't see that the very things that happen is actually because that they are rebellious against the Lord. And so all these things are connected. And they're all connected to the iniquities and the sins that have separated themselves from the blessings of God. Now, update to Christianity. The same thing can happen. And Paul, that's what I referred to with Paul talking about the chastisement of the Lord is not pleasant and it's grievous, but it'll do you good in the latter end. God seeks to find a place, especially when there's Christians that aren't obedient, to bring them back to himself, to restore them. That's why he says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. And Paul, later on, when you get in Galatians, and you get into the differences between the lusts of the flesh and the spirit, you know, the fruits of the spirit, and whether you should walk in the flesh or walk in the spirit, tells you the difference there. You see, all these things are pertinent to Christianity today. Because in Christianity today, we have many teachings out there and knuckleheaded teachers. And I'm speaking of so-called prophets, so-called apostles, so-called preachers, and everything else that turn around and they teach that Christians can live any way they want to and it's fine. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Now, even Paul came out and said, I'll tell you again, as I've told you before, people that do these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, that's after he summed up all the things they can't do. He says, I've told you this before. Well, they continued to do it. Now, I can tell you right now that there's a lot of people in the churches, and there's a lot of people in America, and as well as the Western nations, that are going to find themselves in a wrong place, and people need to take heed. The one thing that we need today is not more churches. The one thing we need is more repentance and more true preachers. And we need to have an earnest repentance and a healthy fear of God, because with the fear of the Lord becomes is the beginning of wisdom. So these are all the things that we need to be looking at. Now let's look at Micah. Judgment comes. And see, Micah, of course, he's talking about judgment here. And he says in Micah chapter 7, verses 2 through 7, he says, the good man is perished out of the earth. There is none upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood, and they hunt every man his brother with a net. Now, you know, we have a lot of prophecies about the end of days in which we live. Paul talks about this being perilous times, and it is. You know, the scriptures tells us that because sin and iniquity will abound, the love of many will wax cold. And so we are in that time frame right now. Well, see, Micah's talking about it in his day. And he's looking within his own nation and his own people. And he's looking for upright, and they all lie in wait for blood. And there was a lot of problem with that, because they wanted things. You know, if you have a vineyard and somebody wants it, they have no problem killing you to get it. If you have it and I don't have it, you know, I mean, and we see this. In America, we have a lot of this. You know, in Chicago, it has some of the toughest gun regs in the nation, and yet they've got murder rates are going through the roof there. And he goes on to say, Micah goes on to say that they may do evil with both hands earnestly. Now that's really exciting, to do evil when you're putting everything you have into it. The prince asketh, and the judge asks for a reward, and the great man, he uttereth his mischievous desire as they wrap it up. Now you see, what he's talking about is paying off the people in charge. Oh, that don't happen in America, huh? Yeah, right. Where the judge asks for a reward, or if you're a politician, you get rewarded and you suddenly vote for something that helps a company that helped you. You know, just like Monsanto years ago, and that's when a lot of us were opposing what they were doing in their Roundup and a lot of other areas and their seed and trying to buy up all the seed companies. We didn't like what they were doing, many of us. But yet, nothing ever changed. And eventually Monsanto got into trouble. They're still going, but there was a lot of suits against them and major ones that they lost. But until that happened, though, you know, you would find ex-Monsanto officials in the corridors of power in D.C. under some of the most famous presidents we've had. Well-known ones that you know of. And so we, you know, hey, this is nothing new. This happened in Israel. The prince would ask, the judge would ask, before I make my decision, what are you going to give me? The great man says, well, this is what I want, and this is what I'm willing to give you. So they wrap it up. That's what Micah says. They wrap it up. They're getting the gift ready for him. You know, the great man, he has lots of money, and he's, okay, here you go. Yeah, does that happen today? You bet it happens today. Happens all the time. Dear God in heaven. The best of them is as a briar, you know. You know, there's places that I've gone hunting that it's just these sticky briars. And you got to watch it. I remember a show I watched once, a survival show, and he says everything in this place wants to bite you, eat you, or stick you. Because it was so dangerous. If they couldn't, you know, bite you, stick you, or eat you. Dangerous. And so the best of them was as that briar, the one that would poke you. And the most upright is sharper than the thorn hedge. And that's the upright ones. So these are the good people. That's when they're a thorn hedge and they can poke you. You stay away from a thorn hedge in case you haven't realized that. God help you if you fall in a thorn hedge. And it says, the day of the watchman and thy visitation cometh, now shall be their perplexity. Now you see, there's always the day of the watchman and the visitation, even on America and every nation on earth today. There will be a day of the watchman. And I can tell you that these nations have been warned. And they're going to be warned again and again. And the visitation is going to come. Even on America. And when the visitation comes, that's when the prophet says, now shall be their perplexity. Now see, you can sit there and you can make fun of the watchman. You can make fun of the prophet. You can say, well, that hasn't come to pass. You can mock him saying, well, what does God say now? You know, I mean, you're sitting there telling us God's going to do this. Well, it's been such and such years and nothing's happened. So what do you got to say for yourself? Nothing. You've been warned, and it's not in your timing or mine. It's in the timing of the Lord. That's the God's honest truth there. But see, there's that day of the watchman, that day that he saw, that day that he knew what was coming. And then he warned. And then you have that visitation that comes. And it hasn't come yet. But it'll come. Now Jeremiah, he warned for a long time before he ever got done. It says, trust you not in a friend, and put not confidence in a guide. Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom. Why? Because whatever you tell her, she's going to go tell someone else. There's no secrets. In other words, that's what he's saying. That's how bad it's gotten. See, the best of them is as a sharp thorn hedge. See? And when you take them to court, the courts don't give you justice because they're dishonest. Well, we see that today. They're politically motivated, a lot of them. you can't get justice in some of these courts today in America. And that's what we have today. It's a slanted justice system. And every once in a while, you know, the scales of justice do win a victory, but most of the time you have these people that are sitting in quarters of power that are dishonest, taking bribes and other things. And they will put, you know, the favor in that corner that gives them the most that they can profit from. And see, this was something that was happening all over in Israel. And this is something that's happening today around the world, in the corridors of power, in the nations. And it's not just something that happens in America. It happens in this world we live in. And so it's so bad. He says, don't, you know, when you're laying with your girlfriend in bed at night, keep your mouth shut, because she'll betray you. Why? For money. For something. Whatever she wants. For the son dishonoreth the daughter riseth up against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own household. That's exactly what the Lord told us in the Gospels. He said, for your enemies will be those of your own household. And so that the Lord tells us that right in the New Testament. So this, you know, the words are not just Old Testament. Because when you begin to have judgment and people begin to turn against one another, people will do anything, even against their own, in order to take care of their own, meaning them. Therefore I will look to the Lord, I will wait for the God of my salvation, my God will hear me. Now that's the righteous. That's Micah speaking about what he would do, but that also gives you insight into what the righteous will do. That in times of judgment, we look to the Lord. Now, I've given you a number of these scriptures to pray, but Luke 21:34-36, there's a scripture in there that says, watch and pray that you be counted worthy to escape all these things that are going to come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. So that's, you'd be counted worthy to escape. Now, see, you got a whole segment of the Christian church in America that believe they're going to go in a rapture and they're not going to see any of this stuff. But the problem of it is that we're already in throes of judgment right now and in the shaking. And, you know, you haven't gotten out of it yet. Now, let's go to Isaiah. Now, this is Isaiah 1. The ox knows his owner, and the ass his master. His master's crib, that's where he's fed. But the Israel does not know, my people does not consider. Now see, Isaiah's getting started here, and he says, ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger, and they have gone away backward. That's where we get backsliding, by the way, from the Word of God. So the big problem you have is that when you look at things like this, the people in the nation, like Israel, would say, well, yeah, but Babylon's a lot, you know, more wicked than we are. That's what Habakkuk was talking about. When you read Habakkuk, he actually brings that up in his, you know, in his warning. You know, first of all, he's talking to the Lord about being surrounded by all this wickedness and stuff. And then the Lord tells him, well, I'm going to bring someone in to judge you. And Habakkuk says, well, why will you use someone more wicked than we are to judge us? Shouldn't they be judged first? You know, that's the implication. No, that's not the way it works. And you may say, well, why would God judge America when we're not as bad as North Korea? Look what they're doing to the people over there. Or you name some other nation. That's not the way this works, folks. You see, America, and you may not like this comparison, but just like Israel, you know, in the beginning, God was there in America, and he did have people here. They did make a covenant with him. And that's all it took. And it was his will for America to get going. It was his will to have a people here that would serve him. And the gospel went out from here. So when you take a nation that has people in it where they've had wholesale revivals and many, many people, you know, thousands upon tens of thousands and millions of people repenting and coming to the Lord, building churches, seeking the Lord, going out in missionary movements and humanitarian things, and that's happened in America. It also happened in the UK. It happened throughout the whole of the UK, it's Great Britain, the whole nine yards over there. But, you know, these things happen. And in America, it was no different. And it happened here. So God, he's going to judge America because we've left off. We no longer believe. And we've been pursuing things that are unclean before the Lord for a long time in this country. And God will judge America. And that's where the issue comes up then. Well, he needs to judge these other nations first because they're more wicked than we are. That has nothing to do with it, see, because once you forsake the Lord and his blessings, you get the cursing to come. The problems. And see, this is what Isaiah is referring to. Now see, Isaiah speaks again in Isaiah chapter 5. Verse 20, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Now see, we're in the same boat today in the world, not just in America, but in the world. We don't know what good is. We call evil good today. You know, and we, matter of fact, when you talk about Babylon, when you talk about Mystery Babylon in the first chapter, much of that, you know, fits America. But it doesn't matter whether or not America's Mystery Babylon or not, not the nth degree, because the wine of the harlot is satiated throughout all the nations. They have become drunk too, and America is full of this whoredom. And we say many of the things today are okay, and they're not. And these things are wicked, and they remain wicked. And teaching your children in preschool about graphic sex is wicked. Destroying the biblical bounds of marriage is wickedness. Abortion, that's another one. It's their body, you say, and they have a right. Well, you see, they're in that body. That body was made by the Lord God. They'll be judged for the deeds done in that body. Because that body, in the end, goes back to the Lord God. It'll go back to the dust where he created it from, and the spirit will go back to him. And then he'll decide whether to destroy that spirit or not. That's at the second death, the great white throne judgment. Now, see, it's really easy for people, politicians, religious people, preachers, prophets, high priests, to say, well, that's okay. Nothing wrong with that. Now, you see, the problem with that Isaiah has, Jeremiah, and the other prophets is that Israel refused to get into the Word and look at the Word and believe the Word. And that's the same problem we have today in our society. We just don't believe the Word. We don't believe that Word is true. We don't believe that Christians need to adhere to holiness standards. We don't believe that even the law is appropriate today, which is a lie. Christ didn't say he destroyed it. He said he came to fulfill it. And all the apostles, you know, where did they get the stuff to teach? Straight out of the, what you would call the Old Testament. But it was modified through the Spirit. It wasn't changed. But it was given in a different format. It means the same thing. And I've gone through this about the Apostle Paul. But the bottom line of it is that that's what you have the Word of God for, to give you the light so you know how to walk. And see, this is where when a people begins to call evil good and good evil, see, they become wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Rather than listening to the Lord God, they conclude that it's fine. Now, see, we have pastors in charge of congregations that do the same thing. Been doing the same thing for 20 years or better. And they're leading a whole pack of people into the pit of hell because they've convinced themselves that what these people are doing is okay. So they just tell them, hey, it's okay, you know. And that's why when you get into 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and you get into the son of perdition, he is called the son of perdition. He's the destroyer. He leads them into a place that they will get destroyed because they reject the love of the truth, which is the gospel and Jesus Christ and the Father. There's a great delusion. He's going to be there. He's going to sue them in their sins. Now, see, this is when we talk about the sound of the trumpet, it's not just about Israel, folks. This is about America. This is about Europe. This is about the rest of the nations. If you think God is just going to judge America and cast America down, you got another thing coming. Because the nations are going to get judged. And they're going to get judged in different aspects, in different ways. But America, she is not going to be blessed ever again like she was, because we've forsaken it. And we don't know what truth is. Not at all. Now let's look at Ezekiel. Son of man, speak to the children of thy people and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coasts and set him for their watchman. Okay, now, let's stop there. That's the beginning. Remember, Ezekiel. Is in captivity. He's with the people. He's going to be in captivity. He says, son of man, speak to the children of thy people. This is Israel. This is Judah. And say to them, when I bring the sword upon the land. Now that's the judgment. Now what we were reading with Jeremiah, he saw the sword. He saw the judgment coming. This is past tense. When I bring it. He's already, you know, he's there. When I bring the sword, like you've just seen, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman. So he's there, he's watching. And he says, if when he seeth the sword come upon the on the land and blow the trumpet and warn the people. Now see, this is a practical example, but it has spiritual implications here. So, he's talking about judgment, talking about bringing people. Now, he's not talking about just warning about the people invading here. He's referring to the reason why the people are put into captivity. Of course, Ezekiel's with them. They're in Babylon. They've lost the land. They've lost the temple. The priests are gone. The prophets are gone. You know, everybody's, you know, many of them are dead. There is no king. The princes are gone. You know, it's done. There's no temple. There's no wall. No nothing. Now, there's people in the land that are Jews, yes, but it's gone. It's over with. Done. Kaput. So Ezekiel's there, and he's starting his prophecy now, and God is calling him and telling him, well, they know very well. The sword has already come. And there's been a watchman. It was Jeremiah, and among others. They had been warned. But see, if a people, though, and that's what he's using the practical example here, if a people set a watchman to look for that sword to come upon the land, when he comes, when the sword comes, he'll blow the trumpet and warn the people. That's what a watchman does. Because he's watching for the sword, the enemy, the army. Now, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, that his blood shall be upon his own head. That's right. The watchman's out there, and he's blowing his trumpet. He's warning the people, and they don't pay any attention. They don't close the gates. The gates are open. They don't get their arms, you know. And so the enemy sweeps over the hill. The watchman tried to warn his people. The people wouldn't listen, so the enemy swarms into the gates and kills them all. It's their problem because they didn't listen. Now, he goes on to say, he heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. See, so there's responsibility here. And this is even in hearing the warning of the watchman. See, when a watchman or a prophet, the people of God, when they give a warning, it's for a purpose. You're not going to stop the judgment. No. Judgment's going to come. You might deliver your own soul. See, the idea here is you need to repent. You need to come to the Lord. You need to forsake the evil. Now, the practical example is this. If you would have listened, you would have, you know, you would have closed the gate, you would have fought, and you could have fought off the enemy. You could have delivered yourself. Another thing of it is, you could have said, well, I would have left the city. Yeah, you could have been delivered that way, but many times they caught him. When the Lord sends the judgment anyway, there's no way you're going to get away. That's where fear, pit, and the snare come in at. That's other metaphorical language that the Lord uses in the prophets that to tell you that when you miss the snare, there's the pit that you fall in. Fear, pit, and the snare. The fear happens when the enemy first sweeps in and you hear it and he starts going through villages, so then the fear sweeps ahead of him. So that's the fear. Then there's the pit. When you try to run away, whatever, you fall into the pit. And you climb out of the pit, and after the pit, there's the snare. See, there's no way to get away. That's what that means. When the Lord sends it, when the Lord sends judgment, if he's going to send judgment, he's going to send judgment. I mean, you're not getting away from it. Now, there is a way for the righteous to get out. And this is what he's saying here. He said, are you going to take the warning? The warning is repent. The warning is change your ways. The warning is stop doing what you were doing and turn to the Lord and get in his word and stop messing around. The other part of the other thing is just ignore it and do your own thing and forget it. That'll bring death. Now, the other thing of it is, if the watchman sees the sword come and blow not the trumpet and the people be not warned of the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. Now, you see, the people will still be taken because of their iniquity. That's the judgment part. But the blood is going to be required at the watchman's hands. He's going to lose his life. He'll be in trouble. See, and the blood has a curse with it. And I've taught on the blood a lot. Blood guilt. So the blood guilt is going to be on the watchman's head. It says his hand. Well, he's the one that hangs on to the trumpet to blow with his hand. So you see, this is the responsibility. When you have a watchman or a prophet or even a priest or a preacher, and even a Christian is called, we're called to be the lights of the world. We're called to give our testimony as Christians. God is going to hold you accountable. The Lord said that if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father and his angels. If you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father and his angels. Revelation 12:11. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony. They loved not their lives unto death. Now that's to all Christian believers. See, there is a responsibility. Now see, there's a lot of people that are wicked. A lot of people are ignorant. A lot of people don't want to listen. But that doesn't mean you can't stop warning. And God has called you to be faithful. And see, that's what it is. Ezekiel was to be faithful, even in captivity. Isaiah was to be faithful in his ministry as a prophet there to his people. Jeremiah, the same way. That's what it is. They had to warn, or the blood would be on their head. They would be judged for that. The people, when they didn't listen, when Jeremiah gave the warning and the people in Judah didn't listen, Jeremiah, he spared his own life by obeying the Lord. And in the end, Jeremiah was in the center of Jerusalem. And when they came in there, they just told him, you know, you can come back with us to Babylon or you can stay here, whatever you want to do. They let him go free, didn't bother with him. See, God can do that in the midst of judgment. See, so this is the ins and out when we talk about judgment. Judgment is just not judgment. There are responsibilities both for those who give the warning and those who are to either receive the warning or reject the warning. There are fruits to everything. There are fruits of death and fruits of life. Now, matter of fact, that's what Paul talks about when we get into the New Testament. And he was given his testimony as far as being an apostle. He says, our message and what we give to some, you know, it's an aroma of life. And to others who hear us, it's an aroma of death. So then when they go in, the message is that they speak, they're either going to receive it and it becomes life to them, or they're going to listen to it and they're going to see death in it and they don't want anything to do with it, so they run away. See, so you either have, and that's what the gospel does. It'll either offend you or it will bless you. There's almost never any in between. Even when people seem kind of indifferent to it, that's still a rejection. Because in God's economy, in God's method, in the way he says, you must turn to him. There's no halfway. So if you don't turn to him, that means you've rejected it. You've just put your own little excuse on it. But a rejection is rejection. You either receive it or you don't receive it. There's no halfway. Now let's look at Hosea. In Hosea 9:15, the Lord says, I will drive them out of my house. But if, in Hosea 8:1, now actually David Wilkerson wrote a book to this called Set the Trumpet to Thy Mouth. It comes out of Hosea 8:1. It says, Set the trumpet to thy mouth, and he shall come as an eagle against the house of the Lord. Because they have transgressed my covenant and trespassed against my law, the house of the Lord. What is the house of the Lord? Well, in modern lingo, it would be the church. But the church in the modern lingo, I mean, if you really follow the Greek, the ecclesia, the called out ones, are the believers themselves. The New Testament says judgment will begin at the house of God. Then if we, who are saved, scarcely survive, where would the sinners and the ungodly stand? So when Hosea is talking about the house of the Lord. He's talking about the temple of the Lord filled with all the, you know, you have the high priest, you had have the prophets and stuff like that, because they had changed the covenant. They had rejected what the Lord had written down, and they were serving other gods. So Hosea says, I'm going to come as an eagle against the house of the Lord, swooping really fast, coming down for the kill, because what you've done. Now see, Hosea then 9:15 says, I will drive them out of my house. Numbers 12:7 says, a Moses is faithful in all my house. Jeremiah 12:7 says, I have forsaken my house. Zechariah 9:8 says, I will encamp about my house. Now you see, that house is not just then the temple. The house is all of Israel, including the temple. God will forsake his house because it was evil. He will encamp round about his house in judgment. Hebrews 3:6, it says, but Christ, as the son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. So in the modern, as we look at the new covenant through Christ, Christ is the son over his own house. Whose house is that? You and I. We are the ecclesia. As I said previously, we are that house where two or more are gathered. There he is in the midst. It's not because we have man-made denominations. It's not because you're sitting in a brick-and-mortar church or under a tree or by a river. No. The church is the ecclesia, the called-out ones, the redeemed ones, the sons of God. Now see, that is the cost for not paying attention and following the Lord. Now see, 1 Timothy 3:15, Paul tells Timothy this. He's going to come, but he says, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the church. Now he's talking about not the brick and mortar. He's talking about the believers, all of those gathered together, that is the house. That's the church, the ecclesia of the living God. To those, when he wrote a letter at Ephesus, he wasn't referring to all the individual brick and mortar houses in Ephesus. He was talking about the brothers and sisters in Christ who lived at Ephesus, and they gathered together as one to worship the Lord. That is the house, the organism, the living body of Christ, who gather together in his name through the Spirit of God and rejoice in him. That is who Christ is coming back for. He's not coming back for your man-made rules. He's not coming back for your traditions of men. He's not coming back for those things which are flesh. No flesh will be, you know, glorified in the day of the Lord. The flesh is cast down. The flesh is an abomination. The friendship of the world is an enmity with God. The lust of the eyes, the pride of life, and the lust of the flesh. These are the things that are against God, and they're a sin. They're against God. Now, so when we begin to talk about judgment, when we talk about judgment in the house of God, many of this stuff, when we read it in the Old Testament, we separate it too much. We say, oh, look at Israel. See, they were always doing that. But the problem of it is today, as Christians, we do it too. Only it's not as evident. Israel, their whole life has been paying for the fact of this one thing. They were kicked out of the land. The problem in the Middle East today with Israel is because they were kicked out of the land and they face judgment back there. Both houses, the house of Israel, the 10 tribes, the house of Judah, which was Judah, Benjamin, and the Levites. The Levites were the ones to take care of the house of God. They weren't a tribe. They were the appointed priests to take care of it, the caretakers. Dear God in heaven. And the reason that Israel was broken into two houses was because of Solomon. Solomon took Israel to the greatest heights that Israel has ever seen, but after it was over with, his wives caused his heart to depart from the Lord, and the Lord then, because Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, he kept Judah for the house of David's sake and the other tribes. He separated 10 tribes, and they became the lost tribes of Israel because they were scattered to the uttermost part of the earth. See, and they've been paying for that ever since. Nobody believes they have a right to the land anymore, even though prophecy says otherwise. And see, then along come the Christians who think, well, we've got everything, we're fine. No, you're not. Romans chapter 11 warns the Christians. Don't be high and mighty. The same God that judged Israel can judge you, O Christian. And you can be found wanting. Hosea 8:6-8. For from Israel was it also. The workman made it, therefore it is not God. But the calf of the Samaria shall be broken in pieces. For they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. It has no stock, the bud shall yield no meal. But so be it yield, the stranger shall swallow it up. Israel is swallowed up. Now shall they be among the Gentiles as a vessel wherein is no pleasure. Now, of course, this is referring to more. This is not, Judah per se. This is dealing with Israel, the other tribes. They're going to be among the Gentiles as a vessel, wherein is no pleasure. They're going to be sown. They're going to be scattered. Now, see, the whole essence to this, the whole thing is that God loves his people. Israel, he loved them. The Gentiles, he always wanted them to come in there. And so even to the church, he doesn't want to judge them, but that's the way it is. As many as I love, he says, he rebukes and chastens. John chapter 15, the Lord says, we have that abiding chapter. Without me, you can do nothing. I'm the vine, you're the branches. See, that's where we need to be. But the sound of the trumpet being judgment, by the time you hear the sound of the trumpet many times, judgment's already on its way. But see, God did tell Israel, and that's prophecy. He said, I rose up early warning you, speaking to Judah. I sent the prophets early. See, long before Judah ever was judged, Jeremiah was sounding the trumpet. Judah didn't listen. And see, America, I've been warning for 20 years that I know of. I mean, long before that, because I knew what was happening back in pre-1973. I was shown by the Lord what was coming. I was told and shown. And for years and years, I didn't really know what to do with what I knew. I just knew I knew it. But in time, God made it clear and apparent. So then, 20 years ago, while I was sitting in my living room doing some stuff, the Lord came to me and called me. And at the time, it was like, yeah, right. I was far from ready. But see, the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. I could have said no. It's not that I didn't want to know, didn't want to go. I just felt incapable. Well, I'm here to tell you today that I'm not the same man I was then. And I'm not the same man or believer I was back when I went to Bible school. Because all along the way, God had to teach me. And in all of our lives as Christians, that's the way it works. We've never arrived. Now, we can be in that place where God isn't mad at us, and we're doing what we need to be doing. But see, God moves in you. To will and to do of his good pleasure. And so, you know, there's no doubt that when we get right down to the whole nine yards, you know, there's going to be judgment. And there's not just going to be judgment on Israel. See? There's not going to be judgment just on America. That's the problem. And we know that Israel's back in her land now, but one thing he's going to do is bring the nations, plural, the nations down to Israel to judge them. I find that interesting. And so you and I need to understand, it's not time to be hard-hearted. It's not time to be foolish. It's time to be wise. Oh, dear God. Wise. How do you spell wise? Not W-I-S-E. It's R-E-P-E-N-T. Being wise is called repent. Repent. You want to be wise? Repent. Throw away with the pride, get in the Word of God, repent and seek His face. That's what America should do. But America's not going to do it. And God is not worried about America. God is shaking things up in America to stir His people, to let them know it's getting late. It's time to wake up. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you, Father, for being with us. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy and grace. And Father, let them understand this word. Let them have ears to hear so that they may hear. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from the preaching, teaching, streaming, and receiving of this word in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the good Lord willing and the crick don't rise, you know, we'll have enough time to warn more. I believe we will. And, but it's been unreal when you see what the world is like. Now, the last two weekends, that's next week and the week after of this month, I'm going to go over prophecy in America, and we're going to look at past, present, and future. We got two programs. We're going to do it on our Thursday broadcast. I haven't yet looked at the Sound the Shofar one yet, because these are all the holidays coming up, and I got to see how everything works out. So, watch out for my little features in the middle of the week, because I'll keep you updated. It'll go out over Spreaker. It'll be on our websites and many other places. They're about 4 or 5. Sometimes they're 10 minutes long. So check them all out. Check out my book. And Steal the Darkness. Go on over to our websites. You can find more information there. You can get links to the book. Those of you that have bought the book, be sure to leave us a comment on the book on Amazon and rate it high. I really do think that you'll like the book. And, of course, you've got to like that kind of thing, you know. But so, at any rate, thanks for listening. And from Tower and myself, Shalom, everybody. We'll see you next week. We thank you for joining us today on WARN Radio, the Watchman Alert Radio Network. This is the Watchman, and for all of us here, Shalom, everyone. See you again on the radio.